And Lord, we can be generous because you've been generous. Lord, we are so undeserving of your love, and yet you extend your love to us every day. Lord, you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed, because Scripture is clear, you don't slumber nor sleep. You're not moody like people are moody. But instead, Lord, you knew everything about us, and yet you chose us. And your love is not something that wanes, comes and goes. It's not something that is really conditional. It's unconditional. And so, Lord, we know that whatever yesterday held, whatever our past has held, that today the answer will arrive. We know that we're here because this day has been ordained, meaning it's been ordered. This day has been ordered. We're here by your order. And so you must have something to tell us today. So we're open. Lord, we say, speak and we will obey. Lord, speak and we will do. Lord, speak and we will follow through. Because we trust you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Church, amen. 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 Go ahead and turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, the book of Romans. We've been going through it. And Romans 8 is, a powerful chapter. In fact, I'm just going to read to you the first verse of Romans 8, the verse that people really love. It says, there is therefore no condemnation. I love that. No condemnation to whom? To those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, the Lord says, I'm not putting a trip on you. I'm not about condemning you. I'm not about doing that. I don't work that way. So if you ever hear a condemning voice, it's not from the Father. Right? Now, if you hear a convicting voice, that's the Holy Spirit. You got to listen to that, right? It says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He says, to those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, right away, he's talking about walking in two different ways. According to the flesh, he says, you used to walk that way, and you're familiar with that way because we walked that way for a long time. But he says, no longer, if you walk in the Spirit, there will be no condemnation. And he really spends the rest of the chapter talking about the difference, because the flesh has this pull. That old life has this pull. And so today he's going to talk. Thank you. I didn't mean to do that. But today he's going to be talking about what it looks like to be in God's family, right? To be in God's family. And in Romans 8, really the Apostle Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit, wants you to understand that you belong to a good, good Father. That's who called us. He is so good. I was up this morning, 3:30, just walking around my house, just praying, talking to him, just looking out. There's some fields around us, and Lord, how can you be so good to me? I hope that's the way you talk to him every day. Lord, how can you be? You plucked me out from a no place. I was raised in a little farming community. A little farming community in Central California. And yet that's where the Lord found me. That's where he found me. It's almost like he knew my thoughts. Right? He knew that I wanted to find my way. And I didn't know what that was. And yet, as he found me, even, at the age of 18, kind of 17, 18, he came and he found me. And he's been good to me ever since. So Romans 8 God really wants you to know that you belong to a good, good Father. And then along with that will come some amazing things. And he's going to look at it. Some amazing things. But he wants you to know that you're children of a good, good Father. Let's look at Romans 8, beginning with verse 14. I'm going to read 14 to 17, and then I'm going to give you three principles that I see there. He says, he's talking about, once again, getting rid of the flesh, how you crucify the flesh, how you kill the flesh, how you get rid of the flesh. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together. So here's the first principle that I see here. Being led by the Spirit identifies your Father. Being led by the Spirit. So you look at verse 14. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. See, he says, being when you and I were led by the flesh, our father was identified. He's called the father of lies. We used to, but we've changed. We no longer belong to that family. We belong to a different family. And the way we're identified is we now walk by the Spirit, no longer by the flesh. That's really a lifestyle for followers of Jesus. It's our lifestyle. We used to be led by our appetites, right? People were sometimes led by their appetites, right? They're led by their addictions. Maybe they're led by emotions. A lot of people, they just, the whole day is about emotions, right? People are led by what seems right to them, or even by their past hurts. Some people have been hurt in the past, and really that's what now drives them. I'm thinking, that's a sad way of living now. That you're because someone hurt you, now you are led by that hurt. You know, especially when it talks about, you know, when I talk about people being led by what seems right to them, if you read the scriptures, you know that before really the Lord wiped out the world, it talked about that day, right? And it said about that day that everybody did what was seemed right in their own eyes, right? It's almost like our day. It's like people are just like, hey, seems right to me. I think I'll do it. But then there's a consequence to that, because by the time he wiped out the world, it says every man's thought was evil. And that's kind of sad that you can't even put a good thought in. I mean, you're not even having a good day. You know, I think I'm going to be nice today. It was all evil thought. That's what happens when people do what seems right to them. And we live in that kind of a day today. People are just making it up as they go. But you and I are not to live that way. Instead, we live by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We get up and we say, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me today? Right? What do you have for me today? And the Lord will speak to you out of His Word. He'll speak to you out of His Word. And so the Spirit will, if He's leading you to get rid of the old ways, then chances are that you are saved. That you are saved, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's what identifies us as children of God. Is the Holy Spirit is prompting us to get rid of that old lifestyle. Right? That's why I got rid of a lot of stuff, because the Holy Spirit said, you can't live that way no more. You can't take advantage of people anymore. Number one, I didn't even know I was taking advantage of people. That's the thing, that the scary thing. I didn't know I was taking advantage of people. I just thought I was like crazy, right? Wild and crazy. But no, he says, you're taking advantage of people. Knock it off. Okay, I'll knock it off. And instead, he taught me to love people. He taught me to love people. And that really identifies it. And really, it didn't come from me. It's really the Spirit of God working in me. So if you wake up and you're like, you know, I need to get rid of this in my life. And I'm just kind of a little angry. I'm just a little, that didn't come from you. It came from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we want to work on this. It's interesting how the Holy Spirit often works, at least with me. He works at one thing at a time. You know, because I think I can't handle it all, right? He's like, I'm not going to work at 10 things because you can't handle 10 things. So, like, the first thing he worked with me was my words. I had a salty way of talking when I met Jesus, and so that was the first thing that he said. We're gonna deal with that. You're not gonna talk that way anymore. And so my vocabulary had to change. There was other things, right, that he had to deal with. And so I'm grateful for that. But when he says here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Where he talks about led by the Spirit, that word led is a continuous action, right? It means that's the way we continually led. Not led one time, right? I love the preaching. I raise my hand. Okay, I'm in. No, he says our lifestyle is we are led by the Spirit of God. And that's important. That's important because what the Lord will speak to you is gold in many ways. It's gold in many ways. You know, a lot of times I'm reminded to be nice to my wife. You're like, what? I mean, why do I need to be reminded? I'm reminded to love this woman. What? I'm reminded to lay my life down for her. What? Where did that come from? The Spirit of the living God. See, because in my own self, I tend to be a little bit what? Selfish. It's all about me. Don't be looking at me like that. It's all about you too. Don't act like, yo, pastor, you got a real problem. Me, I'm never selfish. No, that's the human dilemma. And I need the Holy Spirit to remind me every day, you know what? It's about her. You love her. But Lord, I need, you love her. But Lord, she's not, Lord, you love her. Seriously. You know, I am. Because sometimes I'm like a little kid. I whine to the Lord. Lord, this woman, she's not doing this and this and this for me. Amen. Any other whiners beside me out there that you're just, yeah, you're just all, you're just, you look, you know. Give me some. Man, pobrecito. Oh, no, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying I'm wrong. I'm saying I'm wrong. Right? You heard me say that one of the most insightful things when we were a young married couple, this first year of marriage, it was terrible. I was ready to send her back. Right? I'm like, is there a return address to this? You know, I'm sending her back. It was bad. So I remember going to my buddy, he was a youth pastor at the time, and complained to him, like 45 minutes straight, just telling him what's wrong with Pam. Just, man, I was just, this is what's wrong with her, this is what's wrong. And tell you what, he gave me a smackdown. And men, I give you permission to give another man a smackdown when they need it. And so my best friend, he ticked me off. Actually, I was mad at him, but I needed that smackdown. This is what he said to me. He says, it seems like you have what's wrong with Pam down pretty good. He goes, now you need to focus on what's right with Pam. Well, you know what? It transformed my marriage. It transformed my marriage because that was the problem. Pam was never the problem. I was the problem. See? And so it's good to get a little smackdown, and the Holy Spirit will do that from time to time, and we need that. Amen? Amen. So he says, you got to be led by, you ladies should be saying amen. I just helped you out a little bit. So we're led by the Spirit continually, and this is really the proof that we're sons of, and daughters of God. That's how people call no. You know, people see, at work, people don't know what to do with you because your vocabulary is a little bit different. You're like, you say stuff like this, you know, well, I feel led. And people are like, led? Who's leading you, right? Or you're like, you use this vocabulary that people like, you know, you talk about you're being blessed, and they're like, who's blessing you? You use this vocabulary, but that vocabulary is proof that you're a son and daughter of God. See, because you are. You're led by the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. You're led by His Word as He illuminates it. You're not led by your feelings anymore. You're not led by your hurts. You're not led by, you know, your what seems right to you. You're led by the Holy Spirit who resides in you. And He speaks to you spirit to spirit. So people don't know what to do with you, which is good. Which is good. Keep it up. So the question to me is really this. Are you led by the Spirit? Because if you are, it changes everything. Because sometimes we will have trials in life. As a Christian, you're going to go through trials. You're not exempt from trials. If someone told you that come to Jesus and everything will be perfect, they lied to you. There's trials in life that are going to come. But the difference with the Holy Spirit is you're gonna have a sense of strength and security when you go through those trials. You know, Spory is a perfect example. When his little boy got sick and they went to OHSU, I mean, they said a lot of scary stuff. A lot of scary stuff, right? But I tell you what, I know Steve and I know Katie, and I know that they are led by the Holy Spirit. There was, even though they're being led through a trial, and this is the most difficult time in their marriage, that there's a sense of strength, there's a sense of security that's there. Where did that come from? From the Holy Spirit that's inside. You see, because in the natural, there's no reason to feel strength and security and confidence that it's going to be okay. And I'll tell you what, God will use even people. I remember my dad, when we were during that we were probably year three of marriage. Our daughter was less than a year old, and she came down with meningitis, and it was not good. Spinal meningitis, and you know, we're wondering if she's even going to make it through the night, if she's even going to live. And as a young married guy, I was scared a little bit, you know. But the Lord used my dad. See, that's why you got to get to know your Heavenly Father. But in this case, my dad used my Heavenly Father used my dad. So my dad comes up to me. We're at the hospital, and I'm wondering, you know, is my daughter going to make it? I mean, it's not good. And so my dad, he does something that was totally foreign to him. He comes and he puts his arm around me, which my dad didn't do that. He was old school. I mean, he was born 1915. He was not about emotions or feelings. You know, he was not a lovey-feely, not at all. I am now. I'm a huggy guy because there was no hugging in my family, right? It was like, real men don't hug. That's old school. Real men hug, amen? And so my dad comes and he puts his arm around me and he says, mijo. He goes, it's going to be okay. He says, the Lord's got it. Wow. Well, you know what? Because my dad said it, I believe it. It's a done deal. Well, that's really the way it works. When the Holy Spirit right, tells you what our Father is saying, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. And that's why you need to hear from Him. That's why you need to be, you need to hear from Him. There's a strength and a security that comes, right? So the Spirit will direct you day by day, and He's going to get you to God's destiny for you. Right? You don't need to get wrapped up in drama, right? Do you know any people that are into drama, right? They're just drama. I mean, Pam says, I've got my own drama, you know that. She says I'm a hypochondriac, and you know, I'm not. But I don't surround myself with people with drama. You know why? There should not be drama in our life, because God's going to get us to where He wants. You know, the question is, are you going to go the easy road or the long road? The easy way or the long way? But He has a destiny for you and I, and it's amazing destiny. More than you could even hope, dream, or imagine. I mean, He will blow your mind. He will blow your mind what He's going to do with you, right? Our job is to cooperate with Him. Our job is cooperate with Him. I mean, we think so small. See, we think, well, He couldn't do anything with little old me. Give Him a try. Today, say, Lord, what can You do with little old me? And give Him a try, and you watch Him do it. You watch Him do it. He's going to direct us. Look what 1 Corinthians 2 says. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13 and 14. This is the Apostle Paul talking about how they came to the church in Corinth. He says, these things, talking about the things of God, we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. In other words, I'm not coming to you with pop psychology. Right? I'm not coming to you with man's wisdom. And I would say the same thing here. I don't want to teach psychology. We've got enough psychologists, enough counselors. We've got probably more psychologists, more counselors than we've ever had on planet Earth, and we're more messed up. That should tell us, guess what? While they serve a purpose, the answer is in here. The brokenness is in here. The answer is spiritual, and that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. We didn't come to you with words which man's wisdom teaches, but instead, this is what we came. We came which the Holy Spirit teaches, or the Holy Spirit gives. He said, we came with spiritual things, right? Comparing spiritual things or spiritual truth with spiritual. In other words, he's saying, we're giving you spiritual principles, and the Spirit is going to really activate those spiritual principles. Look in verse 14. But the natural man, he's talking about your friends that don't know Jesus, or your family members that don't know Jesus. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why people think, "What? You're crazy. It doesn't make sense." You know, I read, and it's actually, it dawned on me who it was, our Vice President Mike Pence, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about him later, but amazing man, loves the Lord, has done amazing things. But when he gave his life to the Lord, the person that was really, really, really disappointed when he did that was his mom. Disappointed. It's like, it was the worst day of my life. My son gave his life to Jesus. Right? Well, you know why? Because she doesn't understand. She doesn't understand. Same way my family didn't understand. I mean, same reason your family. They probably thought, whoa, aliens kidnapped. Kidnapped you, scrambled your brain, and now you're one of them. You're a Jesus freak. Praise God, I'm a Jesus freak. Let it be known. Right? Follower of Jesus. So he said, these things are spiritually discerned. You know, Pastor Daniel yesterday talked about when he was praying this week, there was this portion of Scripture. He was reading it and reading it. It just doesn't make sense, Lord. And he did the right thing, the thing that you and I have to do. He said, Lord, explain it to me. And guess what? Here it came. Because these are spiritually discerned. That's why people can read this and not understand it. Because it takes the Spirit of the living God to understand it. In some of our Ivy League schools, they study this book as history, missing it. They study this book as literature, missing it. This is the living Word of God. The living Word of God. Right? Powerful, active, transforms people. That's why but it's spiritually discerned. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to really understand it. So if we're led by the Spirit, it identifies who our Father is. Here's the second thing. The Spirit placed you into the greatest family on planet Earth. This is an amazing family. An amazing family. I love you guys. I mean, my earthly family, I think it's pretty cool. I mean, there's a couple brothers that I would sell, you know, that I, man, I'll put them on discount. I'll sell a couple. Make me an offer. But you guys, man, I love you guys. You're amazing. You really are. And think about, you're just one congregation of many all over the world. I don't know, millions of believers. Have you done any traveling? I don't know how many countries I've been to, 18, 19. I mean, if you believers all over the world. And I just love getting together with them. I'm like, wait a minute, they're part of the same family. And then those that have gone before us that already are in heaven. Like, oh, Lord, what a family. So look what it says, verse 15, Romans 8. He says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, he says, I didn't save you to let you still live the way you lived. He says, you were gripped by fear. You were gripped by addiction. You were gripped by past hurts. You were gripped by drama. He says, enough. I didn't save you to keep living that way. He says, that's not the family you're part of anymore. He says, no, but you received the spirit of adoption. You've been adopted into a different family, the best family on the planet. And with that comes grace. And he says, in fact, I want you to feel such a part of this family that you're able to cry out, oh, Abba, Father, right? You're such a good, good father. So he adopts us and he puts us in a whole different family. You know, adoption is really an important thing, but we got to understand where we came from. We were bound by anxiety and fear. Right? We think, oh, you know, when we get sick, and I talk to people like this, you know, they get something. They're like, oh, God's punishing me. Right? God's punishing me because I'm sure I screwed up somewhere. That's not our Father. That's not our Father. Man, if he punished me for something I did wrong, he'd be punishing me every day. We call that abuse. No, the other one, that other father was abusive. Right? He was a liar, but not our good, good father, not at all. So sometimes we think, well, you know, because I don't measure up, you know, no, that's bondage. A lot of times we look at ourselves and I don't measure up. I'm just not as good looking as everybody. I'm just not as smart. I'm just not as whatever. I'm none of those things either. But he still uses me, right? Or maybe failure. We this is the one I see in the church a lot of times. People think, man, I've just failed. God can't use me. I'm going to settle that one today. How many of you have ever failed? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Look around. Okay? How many of you failed more than once? Raise your hand. How many, like me, have face planted? Raise all three, right? Yeah, I can't count. All three. See, failure doesn't disqualify you. The only thing that disqualifies you if you fail to get back up. See, the Spirit of the living God will tell you, get up, keep moving. But I failed. Get up, keep moving. Jesus paid for it all. Paid for it all. So you just keep moving. You say, but Pastor, you don't know how bad I failed. Oh, man. We got to talk about what I used to do for a living. I've heard it all. Seen it all. Right? Seen it all. And nothing surprises me anymore. But I tell you what, Jesus gets a hold of people, and he paid for it, and you're not the exception to the rule. You're not. So don't disqualify yourself because you failed. You get up, and you keep walking toward Jesus. Amen? You keep walking toward him. And so here he is. He says, you're no longer in the spirit of bondage. John 1:12 says it this way, but as many as received him, talking about you and I, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. He says there's a different status. And this different status is really an intimate relationship with God, a joyful relationship with God. Because he says now you have the spirit of adoption. You've been adopted. He says, I want you to know who you belong to. You now have access to my presence. You can come to me anytime, anywhere, and you receive my grace. Amen. You know, somebody this week talked to my daughter, and my daughter made this brash statement, as my kids do, right? My daughter made this brash statement, and she said this, my dad's never said no to me. She said, in fact, it would probably crush me if my dad said no, because he's never said no to me. We're like, that's kind of brash. Well, my daughter's in her 30s. That's kind of crazy. Where would she get that idea from? Well, you know what? I've never said no to my daughter. If I can make it happen, I'm going to make it happen. But you got to understand, my daughter knows me well enough. She knows what not to ask me. Right? That's why I say yes, because she knows what I'll say yes to, and she knows what I'll say no to. And so if I can make it happen, I'm going to make it happen. Well, that's really what I understand is the spirit of adoption. He says, understand who you belong to and understand that your father will say yes to you. He'll say yes to you if it's in his will. And if you understand who he is and if you understand what he's like, that's all you're going to ask for is things in his will. And then you can be brash too, like my daughter. All my three kids, man. Three of my daughters, they think they have me wrapped around their pinky. And they do. And I don't mind. Yeah. I have this theory. I have this philosophy. I think the first kid that dad should have is a girl. Man, that just softens your heart. You know, you're big and bad. You're like, oh. And then you have a girl. Oh. You need to have that. Can I get an amen from dads with girls? Yeah. Yeah. But he says, you didn't receive bondage. No more bondage. That was the old life. Instead, man, you're in a different family. You've been adopted. He says, I adopted you. I picked you out. See, because it's interesting because he's writing to the church in Rome, and the church in Rome is made of Jews and non-Jews. Well, the Jews, they didn't have the concept of adoption. They were really all about the firstborn. But the Romans did. They understand adoption. In fact, the difference in really the way the Jews viewed things and the way the Romans did is when the Romans adopted someone, I mean, it was a very legal thing. I think they had to have like 7 witnesses because it was understood. Wait, you can't say, well, I didn't know what I was doing. No, if you adopted someone, you had to prove that you knew exactly what you're doing, because once you adopted them, that one that you adopted would have equal rights to everything else, right? As well as the rest of the kids. So you adopt this kid. This kid has a right to everything you own, just like your natural born sons and daughters. And that's who he's writing to. So they're like, oh my gosh, it's that way. See, it's not like, oh, well, Steve, oh man, yeah, I could see God giving Steve a bunch of stuff because, ooh, look at him, right? Not at all. Or Ken, right? Or Keely, oh yeah, Keely, oh man, she loves Jesus. Oh yeah, I could see. No, we have equal distribution of what the Father has. We have equal distribution of what the Father has. And that's really understanding this Abba Father. It's really not Daddy. I know sometimes people, a lot of preachers like to say that he's talking about, you know, we cry out, Daddy. No, it's not really talking that way. It's not, you know, it's Aramaic for father. That's what it is. And where they get the whole daddy thing from is if you go to Israel, even now, you'll hear kids call their dads Abba. But that's once again, when you interpret scripture, you interpret it based on what was meant to the first hearers of that day, not to what it means today. And so it was Aramaic, and they understood it meant father. There was an intimacy, yes. There was an intimacy, yes. And so he says, we can cry out to him. We can take our problems to him. You say, Lord, I'm struggling here. Right? I'm struggling here. Lord, I'm having a hard time loving the woman you gave me, Lord. Right? I'm struggling. I'm struggling with old ways. You can talk to him about anything. Nothing is going to take him by surprise. He already knows. But he wants you to come to him because he's going to give you the answer. He's going to give you the answer. So don't waste a year or 2 or 3 or 5 when he can handle it today. So you go to him. Amen? Amen. So you can enter his presence anytime because he's a good, good father. Look what Ephesians 2:18 says this. Ephesians 2:18. For through him, talking about Jesus, we have access. Man, that's huge. We have access by one Spirit to the Father. Huge. Take advantage of him. Come to him in prayer. Come to him in prayer. Lord, talk to me. Let's talk. Slow down enough to talk to him. I encourage people to go for a walk. If you ever see me walking around town, chances are I'm dealing with something because I'm talking to Jesus. I go for a walk and I'm like, Jesus, let's talk. I got an issue, right? I got an issue. And when you talk to him, he talks back. Spirit to spirit. Talks to your spirit. He's like, I've been waiting for you, Carlos. You've been trying to deal with this issue on your own. I'm glad you came to me. I'm going to give you the solution. And I'm going to give you the strength. And I'm going to give you the insight. He'll do that every day. But we wait until it all collapses. Hey, we wait until we end up in jail. I used to call that jailhouse religion back in the day, right? I wasn't in jail, but that's what I used to call it, right? Just so in case you're wondering, like, what? We wait until it all falls apart. We wait until the marriage falls apart, the relationship falls apart, our finances fall apart, our health falls apart, and then we cry out to him. No, he said, cry out to me before that. So I want to hear from you because I'm a good, good father. Amen? Third thing. The Spirit bears witness to the glory of this new amazing family. The Spirit reminds us of how amazing this family is and what we have as a result of being in this family. Look in verse 16, Romans 8. The Spirit himself bears witness, right? He's going to speak to us. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Why does he speak to the Spirit? Because the mind will, like, what? The mind will always reject something that it can't comprehend. See, he's got to speak to our spirit. He says, you got to trust me. The mind's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, that's why he speaks to our spirit. Right? Bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, he says, now he's going to tell us, if we're in the family, there's some good stuff coming our way. And if children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Spirit himself bears witness. Right? He gave us the Holy Spirit for a reason. I talked to a lot of believers that, well, say, yeah, I got the Holy Spirit. Then I ask him, well, why did he give you the Holy Spirit? Why did he give you his very presence? Just as a lucky charm? No. It's a guarantee that everything that he has promised is true. It's the power of God within us to help us walk out this word. It's really a guarantee. It's a down payment, as it were. It's a seal, yes. But he says the Spirit bears witness that we're heirs of God, that whatever God has, we will inherit and we will share. Even the things that Jesus has. Salvation, heaven, eternal life, promises, all those kind of things. Here's an example that we don't think about a lot. Hebrews 1:14. Hebrews 1:14. This is, are they not all ministering spirits? Who's he talking about? Talking about angels. Talking about angels. He says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to what? To minister. To minister to whom? He's saying all the heavenly hosts, they're involved in ministry, and I want to know to whom. He tells you, to those who will inherit salvation. Who's he talking about? You and I. You and I. We forget the angelic realm. We forget that they are involved in ministering to us. Last night, this morning, 3:30, I'm praying, Lord, send your angels to the congregation, that even as they sleep, they begin to minister. Lord, that you would give them a renewed love for me, right? For the Father, right? That you would, Lord, that you would break the habits that were there so that the angels would be ministering. Perfect example, yesterday after men's breakfast, I think the Holy Spirit was involved as well as angels. After men's breakfast yesterday, I'm going down the road, get a green light, I start crossing Cornell, and I hear the Holy Spirit said, stop. Well, I'm thinking, I got a green light. Why you got to stop? But I listen, so I stop. And this lady coming in an SUV, 45, 50 miles an hour, having a good old time. I mean, you should have seen her. I think she forgot. She's in a car going 45, 50 miles an hour down Cornell. She's just talking away, holding her phone, having a good time, blows the red light. If I would have kept going, T-bone me. Would have T-bone me. Right? You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. But you know what? You got to understand this. It would not have stopped anything. If I would have been T-bone, it would not have stopped anything. You know why? Because I got a bunch of young bucks ready to step up here. Amen? I got a lot of young bucks that are getting ready. And guess what? The enemy cannot stop what God is doing in this place. Right? It's his work. It's his work. It's not my work. So it says, the Spirit, right? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So whatever Christ has inherited, guess what? We get to inherit. And then he says, if we indeed suffer with him, then we may be also glorified together. Now the word suffering there is really talking about suffering as a result of the cause of Christ. And I mentioned Mike Pence a little bit ago, our vice president. You got to read up on him. Amazing man. But I tell you what, he's paid a price when he has taken a moral stand on different things. Hell has thrown everything at him. Just, he's a good man. I could understand if a guy's a jerk, I could understand. But he's a good guy. But it doesn't matter because the enemy doesn't play fair. You take a moral stand, he's going to throw stuff at you. But you know what? You keep going. You keep going. Because that's part of the deal. Look what Matthew 5:11 says. Matthew 5:11. It says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. Blessed. Whoa, blessed. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. See, I understand that. I remember, and it's happened several times. I remember the first time it happened in court. Here I am in court. And the guy tells the judge this. He says, Your Honor, the reason Mr. Forrest wants to send me to prison is because I won't accept his Jesus. I'm like, whoa. Here's a guy that I just went the extra mile with and then some. Shared Jesus with. I mean, and he has the nerve to go into court and say, Judge, it's because I won't accept his Jesus that he's sending me to prison. I'm like, that's not going real good. But you know, God is on me. The favor of God is on me. And so here we have a judge, not a believer, not even close, pretty salty dude himself. And the judge gives a tongue lashing to this guy. I know Mr. Flores, and he's a man of integrity. He just lets him have it. And actually even gives him more time than I was recommending. Yes, Jesus, right? Teach you to mess with my servant. The favor of God. And that happened several times. But you know, the tendency is, man, I'm never helping anymore. I'm not going to help anymore anybody. Because look what they did. They stabbed me in the back. You know what? You keep helping people. You keep loving people. It doesn't matter if people say evil things. The person that you might be helping may stab you in the back, but guess what? You keep helping other people. You keep loving other people. Because the enemy wants you to draw back. Because he wants to take people to hell. And you and I are the ones that are standing between hell. And we got to take that serious. Matthew 10:22 says this, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. You and I will endure. We keep getting up. We keep going. We keep loving people by his power. Here, Steve, come on up. I'm going to close with this. We're going to take a personal inventory. Pretend this is an AA meeting. Here's what I want to ask you. Are you ready? You can answer this yourself. What am I being led by? What's lead you? Are you being led by your emotions? Are you one of these emotional people? Are you being led by the flesh? Are you being led by your appetite? Whatever your flesh says you do, are you being led by old hurts? If so, then fess up to it. Are you being led by doubts? Fess up to it. And here's the second question. What must I do to be led by the Spirit? What must I do to be led by the Spirit? Once again, that's a marker of God's people. My encouragement, at 3:00, come and take our 4-week discipleship program. You're going to be challenged. You're going to be pushed. You're going to be encouraged. We'll give you a coach. But I tell you what, here's what I know. That if you don't do something about it now, in a year from now, you'll be in the same place, if not in a worse place. Bite the bullet for 4 weeks, and we'll teach you how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and obey him. Amen. Everybody up. Let's worship the Lord.